Hey everybody, Bob Bakert with Jazz Guitar Today. We're here with Dan Wilson for take two. So how you doing, man?
Oh man, doing all right, man. Just got these kids down.
How old are your kids?
Five. I got a 5 year old and a 2 year old.
Oh man, you got kids.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Who in your family? I know that it happened in church. We've been through that, but in your it was your parents and grandparents part of the part of that?
Well, yeah, both my parents are pretty musical. Like my dad played drums and bass, and so he taught me how to play those, and then I kind of just picked up the guitar. We went to the guitar store and he bought me a cheap Squire, and I was just like, oh, how does this thing work, you know? And then my mom is she sings, and she it was weird. I think I get my musical memory from her, because she knows the melody and lyrics to like hundreds of standards. So like she was, for some reason, that it would just stick with her, you know, lyrics would just stick with her and melody. So she would, she just has this like library of standards in her head that she would, you know, she would sing. When I started playing, she was like, oh, do you know, there's this song that goes, when I fall in love, you know, and then she'd be in the kitchen. I'd be on the floor just trying to like figure it out. So like, well, once you learn that one, learn the shadow of your smile when you are gone, you know.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm like, where is all this coming from, you know?
That, and those melodies aren't for nothing either. I mean, you know, there's a lot going on there.
Yeah, she'd be hitting all the intervals too.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You know, you know. Anyway, let's get back to you. So you were just in Omaha, Nebraska, gigging, man.
Yeah, man. I played with great organist and great organist named Mitch Town, and amazing drummer named Marty Morrison. And they just like they took care of business, man. I mean, Mitch is like, I think one of the as far as the organ goes, he's one of the Midwest best kept secrets. But that's not gonna be for long, because like, you know, especially for me, I'm after playing with somebody like Joey, and you know, when I hear organist, I'm like, oh man, you know.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, it's a little bit tough after being with Joey all those years.
Yeah, man. I'm just like, you know.
That's a pretty tough gig, man. Well, who's the last guy he played with? That was Joey DeFrancesco. What?
Man, I get like, and you don't realize when you're in it, you know, you're just like, oh, everybody plays organ like this. And then, you know, you go play with some other cats, and the left hand, that's the first thing I notice, is like the left hand.
Right.
Is the first thing to falter, you know, and whenever I hear that, I'm like, ah. Oh. But Mitch's left hand is solid, and when I hear an organ player with a solid left hand, like, I don't care what their solo chops are, if their left hand is not together, I'm like, oh, this is a drag, you know.
You know, it's really funny. So for people that don't know, we've done a lot. I've done a lot of interviews with organists and people that we featured the organ trio. Left hand is the bass. They're not kicking pedals. A couple of guys kick some pedals,
but yeah, just for the point on the note.
Yeah, just like a drone note kind of thing.
Exactly.
But the left hand is the bass, and if it ain't solid, nothing's solid.
Yeah,
and you're and so the reason we're talking about the left hand is because that's in an organ trio. That's like, if it ain't there, it ain't happening.
Man, yeah, and you know, and as much as I love this album, there's it's the Larry Young album Unity. I think it's some of the greatest tunes. It's got Beyond All Limits on there. That's just like the Moon Train, the Zoltan, just incredible forward thinking harmonically forward thinking tunes on there. But like, you know, sometimes like the left hand, you know, would get a little bit squirrely when he would start soloing. And then, but like with Jimmy Smith, that thing is pumping the whole time, you know. and I love Larry Young. I think he really pushed organ music, you know, to new heights. But like, man, when that left hand starts to wiggle a little bit, man, that just woo, that's tough for me.
I hear you, man. I think it was Dr. Lonnie Smith.
Uh-huh.
And Dave Stryker. Stryker was playing with him. I was talking to Dave about it, and Dave said that, you know, Dr. Lonnie Smith said to him, man, you look out in that audience, and if they're not doing this, we ain't happening, you know?
Yeah. That is real.
You know, if there ain't a groove going, if they're not, you know, they're not into it, we ain't happening. So that's where it comes from. And I'm going to apologize to Dave. And if I'm misquoting, I don't think I am, but you know, I'm paraphrasing a little bit, but that was basically the story.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it comes from, man. You know, that's where it comes from. So you're out in Omaha doing the Oregon Trio thing.
Yeah. We did Des Moines, Iowa first, this great club down there called Noche.
Yeah.
And just like really a really nice place. And then we played at I did a masterclass and a concert at this place called NOLA, North Omaha Music Association, I believe. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry, North Omaha Music and Arts.
Yeah.
It's an incredible facility. It's run by drummer Dana Murray. So they treated us really, really great. There was an incredible audience. You know, it was nice, man. At the end, there was like a standing ovation. It kind of shocked me. I was like, really? You guys not only listen to me play, but you listen to me talk for like an hour. You know, so very understanding audience. So I appreciate that.
Well, you know, I was gonna say, I saw you had a really nice article that Bill Milkowski did on you. We're talking about playing every note versus hammer on pull offs.
Oh, okay.
And you were made a comment about that, and you know, people like, you know, Pat Martino pretty much played every, you know, he played every note. He picked every note. A lot of guys do. Yeah. And then a lot of guys, you know, I mean, Joe didn't pick every note. Joe didn't play every note. He slurred a lot. And a lot of guys, you know, slurred a lot. I mean, I know that, how conscious of that are you when you're playing? Is that something you're trying to achieve or not trying to achieve, or you come and go with it? Or
early on, like when I was first learning, I wanted to be able to play every note,
right?
You know, but I now that I've, you know, halfway matured, you know, I don't find the need to, you know, I just kind of let the phrase dictate whether or not I play every note, you know.
Well, the reason
I want to be, I think it's important to be able to articulate every note.
Yeah. So here's the thing about all that. That's exactly the deal. I mean, we all went through a period of time, I think, where, you know, picking every note was it. You had to pick every note. You had to pick every note. And people would, you know, stand there in the front row as you picking every note. You know how, you know, people can be. And then it just, you know, being, you know, hammer-ons and pull-offs and all of that, people like Alan Holdsworth playing legato, and there was a whole lot of other people, but he's an extreme example. You know, there is expression in that.
Oh,
and,
sure.
You know, and so I think it's okay, but if you're, to your point, if you're not able to do it and you have to hammer on, you have to slur, you have to do that in order to pull off a phrase when the phrase would be, you know, a little more happening, if you will, if it was articulated, then I think it's important to be, I agree with you. I think it's really important to be able to do it and work towards that. And, you know, and then slur, legato, whatever you want to call it, hammer on, pull up, you know, as you feel creative, you know, we don't, you know, get a different color off the palette, you know, and stick it on there.
Yeah.
Is there anything you'd like to, is there anything you'd like to add, subtract, or multiply, divide from anything we've talked about?
Well, let me give a special shout out to my my first guitar mentor and my number one guitar hero. It's a guy named Arthur Lee Gale.
All right.
He completely revolutionized the way a guitar was played in the church that I grew up in. So, like, you know, but like before him, there were some great, great guitar players. This guy named Fred Dreyer and Isaac Fontaine. So they were like really, they came along in like the 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And, you know, they were like almost like Charlie Christian for us. Oh, yeah. And then, and the way they played was similar, but like more of a country twang. And then when Arthur Lee came along, everybody called him Smoke. And when he moved to Akron from New Jersey, he just brought a whole new way of playing. He's playing chord melody. He's playing more blues, and he's putting more rhythm in the music,
right?
You know, and I used to have these cassette tapes of him in the 70s and 80s, and they've converted from 8 tracks, and man, I had those things memorized. Like there's this one, and I tell every young guitar player that's coming up in that church now, if you don't know Smoke's solo on Watch Me Lord, pick another instrument.
I'm like, the gauntlet's been laid down.
Yeah, I was. If you don't know that solo note for note, then you need to go play the kazoo or something. You know, you know, because before him, let me see. Oh, there we go. You hear that? Yep. All right. So before him, you know, the cats were playing, you know, just like stuff like that. Yeah, so before him, cats were mostly playing almost like the gospel quartet type of them. Which was cool, but he brought, like, he would play stuff like... just like, what type of sorcery is this? And his solo on Watch Me Lord is changed my life forever.
I can see why, because you know, if you think about what was going on the guitar and popular music at the time, to hear that is, you know, that would make a big difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, man. Arthur Lee Gale.
And is Arthur still alive?
Yeah, he's still alive. I just my uncle had his 75th birthday, and I saw him out there. He's had some health challenges. But you know, we're praying that he comes through that, because he's like such a hero for us.
Cody Gale, if you're listening, you've got one of the top guitar players in the world right now. Excuse me, Dan, don't listen. Who is calling you out as the man that inspired him?
He's the man. He's the man. The
we all owe you a debt, Arthur. So
especially me.
Yeah. So God bless you, man. Keep it going.
Yes, sir.
Well, listen, I'm gonna let you run, and you're such a pleasure, man. You're such a
man
to hang out with, and all this. I wish we could do this in person and hang out. You had me thinking about.
Yeah, that's gonna be me tomorrow, man.
Thinking about it, man. You had me thinking about it.
Wow. Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm gonna be in the South in February.
All
right. I'm playing in Savannah at Good Times.
Uh-huh.
And then the next week I'll be playing at in Hilton Head with that great drummer Quentin Baxter.
Yeah.
And then you mentioned something about the Velvet Note. I'm not sure how far that is away.
Well, I'm a regular at the Velvet Note.
Well, okay.
Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you.
I'm going to try to run into you in February for sure. So
sounds good.
For Jazz Guitar Today with Dan Wilson, and God bless you, brother. Take care.
Thank you.
Good luck out there tomorrow.
Appreciate it. Thanks a lot, man.
Bye bye now.
Have a good one.